over there. Amen. 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 And good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see everyone's face this morning. Those that are here, those that are watching by live stream, it's good to see. Well, I can't see you, but it's good for you to be to us to be together. Those that are on our Facebook Live, our YouTube, our conference call. And we just thank you for tuning in to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Good morning and welcome, especially those of you that are guests. Thank you for tuning in. We get emails every week from those that tune in from different parts of the country, even out of the country, and we really appreciate it. Some of you are at different time zones, and we recognize that. Those of you that are in Africa, in Australia, in Japan, I know the other morning on our conference call, we had a caller who was on from Japan, and I know there's at least 8-9 hour difference in time. I don't know if it's ahead or back, but thank you for tuning in. It's one of the benefits of us doing the technology is we're able to actually reach more individuals, more individuals. We know it's not the same as being in person, and many of you share. We, like now this morning, you can share a link to your friends, even while we're online. Many of my old past college teammates who played football with in college and other places, they tune in, and good morning to you if you're on this morning. Just good to be here. Happy New Year. Happy New Year to everybody. I know it's been said a few times, this is January the 3rd, but this is the first Lord's Day of 2021. Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I know we could focus on the negative, I tell you what, but I'm just not today, not today. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Wake up, go open your eyes if you're in the bed. Sit up a little bit, huh? Kind of roll off your side and roll over to the middle. Sit up in the bed, get out the kitchen, get your coffee, sit down, and let's worship the Lord this morning. Is that all right? I'm excited. I am excited. I watch the news. I try not to watch it every day. I know here in Texas, the numbers are still going up. You know, there the hospitals are full, and here in Houston, in Texas, they say the numbers 5 days in a row we've been over 15% infection rate. A couple of days, 22%. And then if it's two more days in a row, some other restrictions are going to have to take place. And I'm just mentioning that because you know, we're still getting lax with the holidays, and we want our people to stay safe. We want our members, we want you to stay safe and be safe. We even here at the church, the elders meet every week. We may have to call some more restrictions. I know we've been getting a look, trying to, you know, accommodate individuals, and we may have to do some changes. And so don't get anxious, but we just put that out there for you to be safe, wear your mask, social distance, and we have quite a few of our members who have COVID now, and more than ever before. And so we're just mentioning that. This morning for a lesson title, I've entitled the lesson this morning, A Spiritual Game Plan for 2021. Spiritual Game Plan for 2021. You know the theme that we've selected for here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ that's grounded in the Word of God is the season of sowing. The season of sowing. We talked about that last week and what sowing is. And sowing is an action, active, doing word. We know the seed is the Word of God. And so we're talking about, but we're focusing on practically a spiritual game plan. You know, the management experts, they tell us that we need a plan for our lives. They say that for us to decide where we want to be a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and to map out a plan for getting there, And where we are right now, and it says to begin to follow that plan faithfully. That's what the management experts tell us. You tell companies and organizations and individuals. And in many cases, people, companies, and organizations do just that. I know individuals who follow a plan meticulously. And really, when you think about it, well, it's just a fact. Most accomplished people, companies, organizations, most of the most accomplished individuals, people meticulously carry out or have a plan, and they follow that plan. I know most of us, all of us are different, and some of us, we fly off the cuff. But the experts say that they suggest that we should write down to our daily activities, have a plan for when we get up in the morning. And today we're focusing on a spiritual plan, but you just think about it for a moment. Think about it for a moment, the companies that are most successful. You can have a steak in Houston, Texas at the Longhorn Steakhouse, and you can go to Memphis, Tennessee, and at the Longhorn Steakhouse have a steak, and the steak tastes just about the same. You can go to Chipotle in Dallas, Texas, and order a burrito and order a bowl of Chipotle special, and go in Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and have Chipotle. And it's almost the same. How in the world do they do that? They have a plan. They have ingredients that they follow. You can have a seafood platter at Papa Do's here on this side of town, on the west side of town. You can go on the south side of town and have a seafood platter, and it tastes almost just the same. Yeah, because somebody sit down and put the ingredients together and says, you do it that, this is how we're going to do it. And you think about the plans, and you think about myself and the elders, we meet every single week, almost, unless something comes up. We meet every single week to talk about how we can better serve in the Lord's kingdom, and how we can serve the members of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. And we meet everywhere. Why in the world you have to meet so much? Well, you got to have a plan. You know, we got to have a plan. You see, our calendar that we've been doing now for 15 years, this is the 15th year we've had a church calendar, an organized church calendar. It takes us about a month and a half, all of the ministry leaders, the deacons, the teachers, we put this together, and you say, we don't need all of that. Well, maybe you don't need all that, but we need this to be more organized, and some of us, we think singularly, but God is a planner. God is a planner. God is a planner. Look at the creation. Look at the creation. With precision, the seasons change at around about the same time every year. You think that's a mistake? That's haphazard? With precision, God has designed days with minutes, seconds, minutes, and hours, and we have 24 hours in a day, and with precision, the sun sets and it rises almost the same time every day. You think that's a mistake? We serve a systematic God who even in the Word of God, as we gather together, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, on the first day of the week, to lay by him in store as God has prospered him. Some translation would say every first day of the week, because God has ordained it so that we come together on the first day of the week, every week. And we serve a systematic God. And I just thought that, you know, sometimes we spend more time, you know, you look at television and this time of year, you see all these lose weight commercials, the diet commercials, and all of them talk about a plan. This is the plan. This is how you're going to do it. And people religiously follow these plans. And we plan our vacations, and we plan things for our children, and we plan the schools. But the question is, do we plan our spiritual life? What would it look like if we systematically plan how we're going to organize our spiritual lives to be pleasing to God? Because even when we do that, it's going to bless our own lives. What would it look like? Because the unfortunate truth is, we have some successful people in this world. We have some successful companies in this world that are doing great things. But, you know, you can plan out your life. And some of us are good at this. We're real good at this. You can plan all the details of your life. And you can plan, I'm going to go to, this is where I'm going to work. This is where I'm going to go to school. This is where I'm going to live. These are the things I'm going to do. I'm going to study at this hour. I'm going to exercise at this hour. You can do all that planning. And you can reach the end of that goal. You can accomplish these goals. And it gives you fulfillment. It gives you satisfaction. Some of your peers admire you and they pat you on the back and you feel good, but it seems like it only lasts for a moment. And something is lacking. Something is still wanting. And then you have to go on to planning something else, trying to get some more fulfillment. You know why that happens? Because many times our personal plans don't line up with God's plan. And as children of God, as individuals who are trying to follow God and please God, until we align our lives with God's plan, we're going to always be looking for something else. We are always going to be lacking. And in its simplest form, the Bible would tell us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it say, "For we are his workmanship. God made us. Created in Christ Jesus for good works." That's what the scripture tells us. See, this is I'm summarizing God's plan for our lives. See, God made us for a purpose. It's to perform good works who God prepared beforehand so that we would walk or live in them. In other words, see, we can seek all of these wonderful things for ourselves, and we're not going to get fulfillment until we learn how to walk with God, do it his way. Yes. God gives us that satisfaction. He gives us that favor that we need to fulfill our lives. Because after all, if you want to be rich and you're spending all your time trying to be rich and you accomplish, you get all of this money, what you going to do with the money? You're going to spend it all on yourself? You're going to buy 10 houses and you can't sleep in but one at a time? You're going to be happy and everybody else around you is miserable? Oh my goodness. Now, but this is also God's plan. In John chapter 6 verse 40 says, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes him will have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day." God's will is that every individual in this world knows his Son. That's God's will. Yeah. I know there are different philosophies and there are different things and there are different things we can believe in. But if you don't, God who made us, if you don't believe in his Son, you are wasting your time. Amen. If you don't serve his Son, all of your effort, all of your accomplishments will be for naught. I was looking at the list of the individuals, famous individuals who've died, this famous individual, people that the world know who died this year. Guess what? They've done some wonderful things. But I was watching that, I said, oh my goodness, I hope they knew the Lord. Because as famous as that, as famous as a baseball player, as famous as an actor, we all gonna do the same thing. Lord have mercy. And so we have to, God's will, see, our purpose needs to be tied into his purpose, and we got to believe. Now, this belief is more than just saying you believe. He would put it this way in John 3:36, "The one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who does not obey the Son will not see life." What he's going to see, Brother Gary, but the wrath of God is going to abide on him or her. So this our purpose, whatever we're trying to accomplish, whatever we're trying to do, first of all, God made us to do good works. And he didn't define every good work that you do, but we know what's good. We know what it means to treat somebody like we want to be treated. We might know what it means to help those who are less fortunate than we are. We know what it means to share the good news of Jesus Christ to somebody. We know what good works is. The question is, are we doing good works? And secondly, he wants us to believe in his Son. And secondly, and thirdly, he wants us to obey his Son. So whatever you do, whether you're going to be a doctor, whether you're going to make a lot of money, whether you're going to open up your business, whether you're going to lose 55 pounds, you can lose all the pounds you want. But after you lose those pounds, what are you going to do with that body that God gave you? Amen, somebody. So what would a systematic, planned approach to our spiritual life do to help us to fulfill God's plan and our purpose? I thought we'd be practical on this first day of the Lord's Day. of the year? What would a spiritual plan look like? And I've just outlined some things that you already know. We already know things that we ought to be trying to do to get closer to God, like plan reading. See, we can't know the word unless we read the word. He told Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God. Studying just don't happen by osmosis. I sometimes kind of wish it would. I wish you just get all this knowledge. I tell the church it's on several occasions. I'm a pretty slow learner, and it takes me a long time to get stuff in my head. I have to read it and read. Anybody relate to that? Some of you just geniuses. I know you read something one time and you got it, but that's not me. It takes me a long time to get everything. When I'm studying for my lessons and I'm preaching, I mean, it takes me a long time. I read, and I always preach from notes. I don't need no. I need notes. I have notes. Because I get lost without notes. And it takes me a while. But then I read the Bible, and I see that God says to study. I listen to this passage in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11, 17:11. Now these people, I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation, were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures, it says daily, to see whether these things were so. And God honored these people. They studied every day. And I don't know, do we read every day? Do we read every day? And I'm not talking about reading, you know, the internet, Facebook page all day long. I'm talking about, do we read? Do we read for knowledge? Read for to grow in grace and favor with God? And so and sometimes we don't. We just busy. You know, we doing a lot of things. What would it be like if you plan your reading every day? Yeah. Would that bless your spiritual lives? Many of you last year, Brother Rafe, put out for us to read the Bible every day, 365 days a year. I know he's going to be speaking on that tonight at our 6 o'clock service. Be good for us to do that. I don't understand all about it. You won't understand it at all if you don't read it. Amen. You got to read it first. Yeah, you'll be surprised how much you will understand. And so plan reading. I know it's already posted on our website, the schedule. I called Brother Ray earlier this week, and he sent me the schedule, and I started the first day of the year. This is the third day of the year. He's not just reading the Old Testament, starting in the Old Testament, going to the end. You read Old Testament, some of the New Testament, and then Psalms, Book of Psalms. And early this morning, I got up and I couldn't sleep. I got my reading in for the day. Now, I'm just not bragging at all. Lord have mercy, sure tonight. That I'm just, but it blessed. It got me in the mood to preach this morning. Amen, somebody. But we got to do it, you know. So I'd encourage you to join in. To go to our website under the evangelism tab, under fwcoc.org, under the evangelism tab, you'll find the reading schedule. It's also posted on our social media sites, so that would be good for us to do that. Those that want to participate, that those of us we want to be more spiritual. We got to put spiritual. You are you like me? You ride all the billboards. Are the billboards spiritual? Most of them not. Are the commercials spiritual? Is the news spiritual? This morning, I with my wife, I'm not going to tell you what came on in the morning on the news. And morning on the news, I'm like, what? Turn the channel. Oh, my goodness. So I encourage you. You know, but you got to set the time. It might mean setting an alarm clock 15 minutes earlier or 30 minutes earlier. Some of us don't wake up early in the morning. Some of us work different schedules. I don't know, but what would it do for our spiritual life? What about planned prayers? Planned prayers. Well, you got to plan prayers. I'm not saying you have to, but you know, under the old law, you know, the Jews, it seemed like they would had scheduled prayers three times a day. That's Old Testament. I know it is. But aren't we under better covenant, under better promises, under the new covenant? You're playing prayers. You know, some of us, is it possible to go through a whole day and not pray to the Lord?
who woke us up. You know, a quick prayer, this is just habit now. I do it as soon as my eyes open. You know what I say? Thank you, Lord. Is that prayer? Who are we talking to? Prayer is talking to God. I mean, I do that every morning. I tell you what, try not open your eyes one more. Oh, I do. I just say, thank you, Lord. Because, boy, yeah. Planet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, get it out. I'm not going to say get it out the way, because the prayer is not something you get out the way. We ought to be happy to pray to the Lord. Paul, when he wrote to the Thessalonians, he said this in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. How you do that, Lord? Help us, Jesus. There's a way that the child of God can rejoice always. Oh, we got to grow to that. Now, that's not my sermon. Then he said, pray without ceasing. Some translations say pray continually. So, Brother Gary, how often should we pray? Now, what does the Bible say? It's talking to God. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is talking to God. Boy, look here. I'm telling some of us, and some of you already do this. I know I'm preaching to the choir. Some of y'all, do you mutter prayers? Yeah. Oh, look, I every time before I get up here to preach, when the brother be praying, I be praying along with him. Every time I preach, I'm sitting down wherever I am, I said, Lord, be with me. Let me say the right word. Help me don't say the wrong words this morning. And you know what else I say? I said, Lord, please forgive me. Purify my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. Why you have to say that every time? Because that's my prayer. You might not need, you might got it down, but this man of mine be wondering all over the place. I need something to settle me down. And that's what I do. I pray. I mutter prayer sometime when I'm talking to my wife, Sister KB. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. She be doing all that talking sometime. I don't want to hear what she got to say. I say, Lord Jesus, help me not to say the wrong thing. Woo! She here today. She's smiling. Yeah. Pray all the time. Pray the Lord. Help me not to. You better. You pray. You raising children? Oh, you ought to be a praying soul. Praying soul. Because I know sometime, boy, when my children were little, boy, I know sometime I could have been put in jail. Oh, yeah, I could have been put in jail if I'd have did some of the things that I was on my mind after they did something wrong. Pray, help me, Lord Jesus, keep control. It goes on to say in verse 18, in everything give thanks. Prayer, this is what we need to learn how to pray. See, in every situation, thank the Lord. Would we dare eat and don't pray? Would we dare? I noticed on Facebook, boy, you know, be loaded. Everybody say, have birthday. My birthday today. Oh, give it up for someone. But everybody got birthday. Birthdays are beautiful. I love them. Oh, thank you, Lord, for another year. Boy, I'm telling you, I keep telling you, I'm getting sentimental as I get older. All these people are dying. All around us, all the time. There's so much bad going up. You be thankful for what's good that's going on right now. Plan your prayers. Listen to Mark 1:35. Brother Arthur read this in your hearing this morning. It says, and in the early, I'm reading because I want to show you that we serve a systematic. That's success in doing things organized. This scripture would say, and in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. You have to have this on your mind. He left the house and went away to a secluded place and prayed. This Jesus, this is the Son of God. He needed to pray. And we do a lot of things there. Some of us got our routine. Some of us, we not going to move till we get our coffee. First thing we do, get up and walk to the coffee pot. You know, this morning, you know, I like McDonald's coffee. But I don't like McDonald's. You don't have to like it. I got to have my Starbucks. They go to Starbucks. That's fine with you. I like McDonald's coffee. And this morning, we get started, got our McDonald's coffee. And it's just a routine that I don't do it every morning, but I like McDonald's coffee. One of my daughters bought me one of those, what you call them? Keurig. Oh, I like that too. That's good. But I like to have my coffee. I just drink one cup. And now it's a routine. And I almost do it without thinking. And it perks me up, starts me out. Praying ought to be a routine in the person that's trying to get to heaven, trying to be pleasing to God. Praying, you're going to have to make time. Listen, we shouldn't have to. We ought to want to make time to pray. Jesus deliberately went to a place. Find your place. In Psalms 5:3 in the morning, listen to what David wrote. He says, in the morning, Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will present my prayer to you and be on the watch. See, when we pray, the God who created the whole world, he listens to us. And he want to listen to us. He would say this, and forget, I sleep in the morning, but I can't pray. And okay, that's fine. Listen to Psalms chapter 55, verse 17. Psalm 55, 17. Evening and morning. Listen, and at noon, I will complain. No, this is not, no. We pray different prayers. Sometimes you pray a prayer of thanksgiving, give thanks. Sometimes it's a prayer of supplication. Sometimes it's a prayer of petition. See, and I know I do. Probably most of us lean on praying for when we want God, Lord, help me, Jesus, Lord, prayers. And I'm going to tell you something. Ain't nothing wrong with help me, Lord Jesus, prayer when you need his help. David said this. He says, I will complain and moan. And have you had some moaning prayers? Whew, how many moaning prayers? I ain't say morning prayers. Moaning prayers. Yeah, some parents have had some moaning prayers about their children having. Ooh-wee. Boy, if you're a parent and you're raising teenagers, you ought to learn how to pray. Yeah, our kids, when they were young, we molded them, we shaped them, they went with us. They hang on you every word. But it's like when they get teenagers, they get, you don't know nothing then. Oh, daddy, you don't know nothing. I'll be wanting to say that again. Oh, Lord, I've had some morning prayers. I have, yeah. And then the scripture says, he will hear my voice. It vents. Sometimes I need to talk to somebody, talk to God. Yeah. Evening, morning, noon. Anybody pray in the car? Yes. Yeah. I'm so busy, but you're not that busy. No, who that busy? But plan a time every day. Pray with the Lord. Pray to the Lord. What about our plan works? We're talking about a spiritual game plan. And I don't want to be too specific and say, you need to do this time, you need to do this, because it's something we have to do. What about our plan works? See, that's why as a church we do this. That's why as a church, because we want to take some of the excuses away. Now, we can't do everything, but there ought to be some plan. We talked about this last week, what sowing is, what it is. And see, we can talk all day long, but nothing gets done till some work happens. Amen? And we all as individuals, ought not have somebody have to tell us, you need to be involved in this. This is what you need to be doing. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he says this, Timothy, he addressed everybody, the older women, the younger women, the older men. This is what he said to the younger women. He says in Timothy, 1 Timothy 5:10, he says, having a reputation of good works. He says, now look, you, as a child of God, people need to know that you are a worker. And to have a good reputation is something that you're going to be doing repeatedly, not haphazardly. You're not doing it for people to brag on you, for people to know that this is what you do, but you, as a child of God, because see, This is what gives us influence with individuals. People listen to folk who are doing something. And that's what we're trying to do, is to have more influence to be able to lead individuals to Christ. And he says, and if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, it's like your work speak for you. We say, we're not saying for you to be looking at people and what they're doing, but you notice when a single mom is raising her boys or her boy or her daughter, and she's striving, she's bringing her to class, she talks about her about what she wears, and she teaches her good how to be respectful to people. People notice, people see that and watch that, and that people admire that. He says, you need to be known by your works. People need to know that you're raising your children, that you're a family, you're a young man, you're young, you have young children, and you're with your wife, and you're helping your wife, you're helping your... Yeah, because it's a job bringing up children. It's a job. Everybody don't do that. Some folks shuck their responsibilities, and guess what? People know who do that. That boy don't do nothing. He don't do nothing for his kids. And all our kids don't necessarily have to be in our house. And people still know who does it. Amen, somebody. If she has shown hospitality to strangers. See, these are acts. All of these are acts. These are sowing deeds. If she has washed the saints' feet, and in Bible times, that was literally washing their feet. In our times, it may not be necessarily washing a person's literal feet, but it's serving. She is known for her service to men and women of God by helping them in any way that she can, any way that he can. If she has assisted those in distress, if she has devoted herself to every good works. See, that's in line with God's purpose. We are his workmanship, created by God for good works. Ooh, Lord, help us to plan better. Help us to plan to do good. Do good works. Plan it out. This is going to help you a little bit. This will help you. Now, this is not exhaustive, but. And I don't want to say finally, but this is my final point. But plan sharing the good news, sharing the gospel. Plan sharing the gospel. See, because especially those of us that have been in the church for a while, if you've been in the church 20, 30, 40 years, our circle is small. You know, our circle gets smaller, our influence gets smaller. Because why? Because now we're around Christians most of the time. See, you know, we come to church, we around Christians, but that does not shuck our responsibility to share the good news with other people that we come. Everybody we around are not a Christian. You know, because we work with individuals and some of this will not happen unless you plan it. Sometimes you have to, this is early in the year, get your eye, think about an individual, think about somebody at work, think about somebody that you do business with and you see them all the time and they see you, they're not a Christian, but they see you and they know you. Think about that individual and something that you know that they are not in Christ Jesus. You know that they are not in Christ Church. And start planning ways that you can plant the seed, that you can do good works, that you can influence, have an influence on them, that you can get in a position that you can share that. That's not going to happen unless you plan, unless you purposely have it in your mind. I'm getting reconnected with some of my old classmates and my teammates, and we're talking a little bit more often social media, Boy, but I'm planting seeds. I'm planting some seed, purposely planting some seed. You know, I lost, you, many of you know that I lost my one of my closest teammates, my roommate in college. Roommate in college, the second roommate that I've lost through the years. And life is short. All through the last months, I've invited him. He'd be worshiping with us. I had in my mind that I want to get him baptized in the Lord's church. Now, it don't happen the way we plan it all the time. But we got to get this good news to the lost world. In Acts 5:42, and every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not stop teaching and preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. The apostles didn't stop. And for us is our charge in 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciling individuals, getting people back in a right relationship with God. And I hold hope that you do just that, is that you and I, that we purposely think of individuals right now who we want to lead to the Lord. What would it look like if we had a systematic approach to our spiritual lives? If every day we planned a time to read from God's word, we set the time, whether it's morning, whether it's noon, maybe at your lunch break, whether it's in the evening when the kids are all down and it's quiet in the house. It may be at midnight. Some of you are night birds. I know some of you stay up late. It may be 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't know. Well, what would it do for us? I'm telling you, I just personally speaking, I most of the time when I'm reading, I'm studying to teach. And you know, I'm telling you something, that gets wearisome just to study to teach all the time. And just in the last 3 days, this reading through the Bible has blessed my soul. Because you know what after I read is my plan time for praying. Because after I read, I pray, thank you, Lord. And may I receive these words. May I receive understanding from these words. It's just time that I pray again. Yeah. What would it do for our spiritual lives if we plan a time that you know what, today is a day. You say a day, but surely a week don't go by that you don't plan a good work that you can do for that will glorify God. It doesn't have to be with the church, all us together. But you don't plan. You say, you know what? Okay, this week I'm taking something to my neighbor. This week I'm sending an encouraging note to a teacher, to a young lady, to a student. This week, I'm going to post something online on Facebook. I'm posting something spiritual, not pictures of my grandchildren. I'm not saying that's bad, but I'm saying we're going to do something for somebody else. What would it do for you, our spiritual lives, if we put a picture up, if we wrote it down a name, if we wrote some opportunities that we'd have to find out the person that you're cleanest. This today, instead of going taking my clothes to the cleaners, I'm going to take my clothes and I'm going to find out the clerk's name. Hey, how you doing? Good morning. Good morning. Here my clothes. Give my check. Go get the check. You go outside. You don't even know the person's name. Hey, how you know what? I've been coming in here all this time. I don't even know your name. You know my name because I'm on my name on the check. It's on the credit card. Well, I don't even know. What's your first name? Well, it's Marie. I'm glad you asked. Like, hey, Marie, I'm Gary. Now, don't pull out your Bible just the first time and hit them upside with the Bible. But you hit them with some love. Amen. See. And then the next time you come, hey, you know. And you plan out a way you can plant the seed. God is so wonderful, so good. Have he been good to us? If you're here today, you're not a child of God. You need to be. Well, I don't know who's listening. I don't know who's watching or where you are. Oh, this is the first Lord's Day of the year. God has blessed all of us to be here today. If you're here, you've been watching, you've been on the fence, you've been encouraged by the message, but you haven't really obeyed the gospel. What do you mean, Brother Gary, obey the gospel? See, a lot of people believe in the Lord. A lot of people believe even in Jesus. The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, he was reading his Bible, but he wasn't saved. Amen. Cornelius was a giver of alms in Acts chapter 10. He prayed daily, but he just didn't have the complete knowledge. And so you may believe, but you got to obey. How do you obey the gospel? I'm glad you asked. The Bible says, so faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You're doing it right now. You're hearing the word of God. The question is, are you going to act on the word of God? If you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as many of us do, as I certainly do, and I know you haven't seen him with your naked eyes, but that's too much evidence that Jesus lived, came, he lived, he died, and the scriptures say he's coming again. If you're willing to repent of your sin, that's one thing you got to recognize, that none of us are perfect. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that, and the only person that can save us from our sins is Jesus. He died for our sins. See, that would be a difference in some of the teachers. Some people say, just believe, have faith, receive the Lord Jesus where you are right now, and you'll be saved. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches you got to do, to repent means to turn from, it's a changed mind about sin. You got to say that, I don't want to live this life. Not, I mean that you're not going to make mistakes, but your mind is, I don't want to live this kind of life anymore. I'm going to live for Jesus. And you're still not saved because you got to confess with your mouth. See, with your heart, believes it, but you have to say it, acknowledge it with your mouth. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men is what Jesus said in Matthew 10:32. I confess before my Father who is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father who is in heaven. And then you must be baptized in water for the remission of all of your sins. Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38. Not until you have done these are you saved. Because the scripture says in Acts 2:47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And the only ones who were saved in Acts chapter 2 are those who had completed their obedience to God through baptism. Don't put it off. No, it's not. Brother, I do it next month. Well, you're not saved until you do it. That's why you need to do it today, because the devil is so busy. God is so good. And if you want to be saved, you can be saved wherever you are. If you're in Houston, call us on the phone. Call us on the number on your screen, or email us, or go to our website. Call 713-672-2654. If you're in Houston, we'll wait on you to come here to do it today. Why? Because it's a sense of urgency. If you're out of town somewhere, call us and we'll make it happen. We will. Well, tell you, we got some brothers in here that will make it happen. We got some sisters in here that will make it happen. Amen? Try us and see. If you need prayer, type your prayer requests in. If you're on Facebook, type it in. Our elder will acknowledge our prayers for the saints after we're finished. God is good. Thank you. Happy New Year to you. If you want to respond, come right now as we sing the song of invitation.
When the Savior calls, I will answer. And when he calls for me, I will hear him. And when the Savior calls, I will answer. And I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Yes, for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.